Picked out another one of my favorites this morning, Our God, He is Alive, written by A.W. Dykus, and I lived in a dormitory at Florida College that was named after him. It's the Dykus building that I lived in, and I've always liked that song. A little tidbit about A.W. Dykus is he invented the turn signal on a car. So he invented that. So he was also a good inventor as well as being a great songwriter. So I always liked his songs. This morning we are going to be in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, continuing our study in the book of Acts. And as Rex said, we will be saying some things about Ananias and Sapphira as we go through the lesson today. But as we look at this portion of the scripture, we saw in our last lesson that the disciples prayed for boldness as they were told not to continue preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter and John said that we needed to obey God rather than man. And of course, they continued to do that. And so boldness is something that we need. That being said, we live in a time when people do things to be seen by other people. You know, I just mentioned that Brother Dykus had a building named after him on the Florida College campus, but that's not something that he set out to do, that he campaigned for. It was done to honor his memory, you know, after he passed away. So he never really knew about that. But when we see things like this, we see a name on a building, it's usually because somebody donated a lot of money to have their name put on the building. You know, Protective Life Stadium is being built downtown right now for UAB, and which will be open next year, and they paid a lot of money so they can tell everybody, hey, this is ours, we paid for this, and so that there's something to that. So people do things to be noticed by others, especially in the business world. And have you ever noticed on social media how people like to tout and trumpet the things that they do? Isn't it interesting that sometimes there's this private moment of charity where somebody is doing something for one another, but somebody just happened to be there to capture that on video. And so sometimes that is planned or that is staged. And so maybe we are wired to want people to see the good things that we do, but that can be a detriment as well. It can be a detriment to our faith. It's not a new problem in our culture, and it's been an issue for a long, long time. And we see that issue arise here in Acts chapter 4 and 5. So the title of our lesson is Not for Show. The things that we do should not be for show or parading ourselves in front of others. So when we look at the end of Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4 reminds us that the Christians, the new Christians in Jerusalem at this time, they had a good relationship. You could say they had a family relationship. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common, and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need." So this phrase here, "Now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind," this was that they all were this way. It doesn't say, well, a few of them were this way, but the rest of them were selfish and stingy. No, it's that they were all this way. It wasn't just some of the group, but they were all of the same mind. All the congregation, this full number of believers. I think that really should hit us, that it should be that way. That this is what the church should look like. They did not see themselves as individuals. And I understand we are all individuals, and we are accountable individually, and we're not going to be saved as a group. We're going to be saved individually by what we choose to do. But that being said, there is some cohesiveness here in the way that they behaved with one another and the love that they had one for another. They were joined together in their attitude. They were joined together in their focus. They're joined together in their goals. And if you remember what we have here, these are Christians from all over the place, you know, from all over the Roman Empire with different backgrounds and maybe different views on things. And they're not together because they all have the same opinions about the Jewish leaders. They all have the same opinions of the emperors in Rome. You know, if they did not have this common bond, they would probably be strangers. But they have this common bond. They didn't have a long relationship with each other from the past because they've all been put together here. And they're all together with one mind. And that's because, verse 33 says, with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They had all received grace. And it united them together. So the point here is they're not focused on the wrong things. They're focused on the right things. And that's the gift of God that has put them in the position that they're in. And so they receive the grace of God, and they're also showing grace and graciousness to one another. And that's what we see here in verse 32. The full member of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things belonged to him was his own. Isn't that something that parents always struggle to teach their children from an early age? If there's multiple kids in the family, that they've got to share. And you know, there were three boys in our family that were very close in age, and we just loved to share. You know, and my mom would buy cereal, and there'd be a prize in the cereal box. And, you know, I would say, here, Byron, you take the prize out of the cereal. No, you know what drove my parents crazy is that as soon as we opened the box, we dug to the bottom of it. And my mom wanted to, can't you just wait till you get to the bottom of the box? No, the first thing we do is we open it, and we stick our fist down in it and try to claim that for ourselves, because those prizes were so, so valuable. But you know, trying to teach each other to share, it's a difficult thing to do. And we see that these people, again, probably didn't have a long history or a long relationship with each other, but they saw that the things that they had were to be shared with others. No one is saying, this is mine, and you cannot have it. This is mine, and you cannot use it. They're telling each other, hey, you can have some of this. You can have this. And you know, we see the outcome of this in verse 34. It says, there was not a needy person among them. That's the outcome that they were behaving in this way. They made sure that no one had a need. They were selling property. They were selling houses. They were giving proceeds to the apostles who were distributing it to any of the Christians that had need. So you think about that for a moment. That what they were doing is they were taking things that belonged to them, and they were using those things to help others. Could we sell our possessions to help each other? Could we cut back in expenses so that we could help somebody else? That certainly could be done, and that's what was being done. They were showing love toward one another. And we also see an encouraging example of this. An encouraging example of this in, I don't have it up on the screen, but in verses 36 and 37, you're familiar with this person, as he was an embodiment of this very thing. It says, thus Joseph, who was called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Wow, that sounds a lot like some other people that we're going to read about here shortly. What he did was he sold a field, and he took the proceeds and he gave it to the apostles so that it could be used for those who had need. And you don't know this man as Joseph. We know him as Barnabas because that's what they nicknamed him. The apostles nicknamed him Barnabas because it means son of encouragement. And we did a Bible study on that a little while ago. You know, what a great thing for you to be called that. You know, people sometimes give us nicknames. It may not be as flattering as this one. But this is a flattering, very flattering name because he is encouraging to be called not Joseph, but son of encouragement. And he's living up to his name because he sells this field and he gives all the money and to the apostles to do what? To help those needy Christians. And so this is one way that he could be a son of encouragement. This is one way that we can be an encouragement and to help those that are needy. And Barnabas is very generous in what he did. And so when we see someone that has needs, we should want to be one who would do something about that and be able to help in that regard. And so that's a great a show of care for one another. But as we move on to chapter 5, we see that Barnabas was a worthy example, but now we see a fearful example in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 1 says, a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. Sounds just like Barnabas, doesn't it? And with the wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But when Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. And so we see that he kept back part of the proceeds. And when we see that phrase, kept back, or to put aside for yourself, it's indicating it was in a dishonest way that he had lied about that. And we see that same word used in the Septuagint in Joshua chapter 7, if you recall Achan going and hiding things in his tent. So that same type of word is used there. But here's a married couple that wants to help, named Ananias and Sapphira, and together they sold this property, and rather than giving all the money to the apostles, they took back some of it and gave the rest. And verse 8 helps us clarify this problem as we read on. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all those who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. And after an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. And so the problem was not that they had kept back some of the money for themselves. Let's say that they sold it for $1 million. And they told the apostles, oh, we sold this for $500,000 and we're giving you all this $500,000. So they're lying about what they sold it for. So the problem is not that they didn't give all that they had. The problem is that they lied about it. And so in verse 4, Peter says, you know, when you had this, was it not at your disposal to do with what you wanted? And so they didn't have to give all the money to the apostles. They had the right to keep back some if they wanted to. So what was the problem? Well, the problem is that they're claiming to sell the property at a particular price and lie about it. And so what I am inferring from this is they want to look like Barnabas. They want to be brother and sister encouragement. But they're not. You know, they're lying about what it is that they gave. And verse 4 says, you have not lied to people, but you have lied to God. So what did they lie about? They lied about how much they sold the property for because they wanted to look like everybody else who had sold their property and gave all of it to these needy Christians. And so back to the title of our lesson, not for show. This is for show. that they wanted to do this for show. And the Lord kills Ananias and Sapphira, and fear comes upon the church. I can't go through this section of Scripture without at least mentioning what my dad used to say about this Ananias and Sapphira, where Sapphira comes in 3 hours late, and he said, "This is why you need to be on time for church." I think he was taking that out of context a little bit, because we're not even told that this was a church service, but when he was talking about being on time, he said, "See what happens? See what happens when you're late?" And so if she had been there on time, she would have saw that her husband had lied, and she would have spoken up and said, "No, that's not what we did." And maybe her life would have been spared. But she told the same lie that her husband did, trying to look like Barnabas, trying to look like they're something that they're not, when clearly it was their money. They could have done with it what they wanted to, but they chose to be dishonest about it and make it for show. And so they fell into a temptation that many people fall into. The temptation is that we want people to see our good works. And of course, Jesus was critical of the scribes and Pharisees who fell into that trap many, many times. They wanted to pray in public so people would hear them. And they would make a show of fasting and even sometimes disfigure their bodies or disfigure their appearance to make it look like they were so so much into the fasting and their body was taking the toll of that. And so we want to make sure that people know that we're doing good works. And so let's do something. Let's post about it. Let's let everybody know that we did something. Let's let everybody know that we're giving a lot, or that we're sacrificing a lot, and that everything that we do is taking up so much time and so much effort. And we want people to know that and to appreciate that. We want people to know that we are giving our time and giving our money. We want credit. And we want people to think well of us. That we are, quote, good Christians. And so it's easy for people to have these kind of motivations. But you know what Jesus said about those that sought after the praise of men? He said that they've gotten their reward. But the problem is they're not getting the reward from God. They're only getting it from men. And the problem is that sometimes people will show their faith only when somebody else is watching. And then we're going to have a failing faith, because really, you know, it's really rare for people to know what we're doing. Most of the things that we do, other people are not seeing or not keyed in on, and people are not paying as much attention to us as maybe we think that they are sometimes. And you see it in the workplace, you see it in the schools. You know, if there is somebody coming from out of town or a particular high-profile customer or the district supervisor. Brennan works at Publix, and he says that they are mystery shoppers that come in, and they don't know when those mystery shoppers are going to come in. And so it's designed to keep them on their toes, because, you know, what if the manager said, "Okay, Brendan, on Friday, you know, somebody from the district is coming, and we want everybody to be on their best behavior." What are they going to do? They're going to make sure that the store is clean and that it's well stocked and that everybody is dressed the way that they need to be. Everybody's going to play the hypocrite like this is what we do all the time, but we're really getting ready to put on a show. And so that's the reason you have a mystery shopper, because they want to see what you're really like when nobody is expecting that. And that happens all the time in business when people even do things to their computers to make, if they're playing a game, they have something they can pop up real quick on the screen to make sure that it looks like they're working even when they're not. So what is that? It's for show. I want to look like I'm working when I'm really not. I want to look like I am serving the Lord to the best of my ability. I want that to be the perception that everybody has. So to put it another way, if we are doing what we are doing religiously for the show, then you really have a weak, weak faith. And sometimes people struggle with what happened here with Ananias and Sapphira. Well, this is so extreme. You know, this is just an innocent mistake. Well, was it? You know, so innocent? You know, it was rebellion to God is what it was, because they're not serving Him from faith. They're serving from the standpoint of, I want to be seen by others. They're being fake and serving for the show. And twice in this passage it tells us in verses 3 and 4 that Ananias and Sapphira lied to God. You have not lied to others, but you have lied to God. So, to put that in our terms, you know, why is it that we are here? Do we come to services because you think, well, that's what I'm supposed to do, or I want to show my appreciation to God? This is what I'm commanded to do. This is what I see the example of happening in the New Testament, and I want to be faithful to God. Or is the motivation, I want people to look at me, I want people to understand that I'm a Christian, and I certainly do not want people calling me, wondering where I am, and if somebody asks my parents, how's Randy doing? Well, he's there every Sunday, he's there every service. What is that? Have you ever been in a situation or been in a congregation where there are members or people that you only see when their parents come in out of town? We've had that here in the past, where there are people that would show up, and they only showed up when their parents came into town. Like they're putting on a show. And so if we do things because we don't want somebody else to look down on us, or we want somebody else to have a high opinion of us, or we don't want somebody calling us and sending us letters, or we don't want to hear from the elders, that's really not good motivation. That's not coming here for God. That's coming for show. And so we need to think about these things and look at what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, because it's very possible for us to sit in a pew and it be a complete lie. But the situation with Ananias and Sapphira is that Peter knew it was a lie. God knew it was a lie. And it could have been that if Peter wasn't clued in on that from the Holy Spirit, that they could have gotten away with that. But would that have made them any more pleasing to God if they had gone for years and years and people kept, you know, that sure was nice what you did in selling that land. Yeah, you know, we're glad to do it. Glad to do it. You know, we just want to help. They wouldn't have been any more pleasing to God, that they would have looked good in the eyes of others. And so it's a great challenge to our faith that is presented here in this text. Why are we doing things? And this can be a really, really big problem with people. I know of a family that I thought was very, very faithful to God. But as soon as the man's mother died, their faithfulness went way downhill. And so what it appeared is that what he was doing was to keep his mother happy. That she wanted him to attend. She wanted him and his family to be faithful. But as soon as she passed away, then you didn't see him anymore. And nobody knew that was the reason that he was being faithful, was to put on a show for his mom, until after that happened. So things are not always what they appear to be. Ananias and Sapphira, what they were doing was not what it appeared to be on the outside. And if we're doing things just for the show, it's not a good thing. Another point that we can draw from this is that the ends do not justify the means. God does not just look at the outcome and say, well, you know, they were dishonest here, but you know, Jerusalem and the saints there sure needed that money, so I'm going to overlook that. God does not look at Ananias and Sapphira. Well, at least they gave, you know, something. At least they did give a large sum. But God struck them down because they lied. Their motive mattered. And Jesus gives the same warning, doesn't he? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. You may have the reward now, you may have the recognition now, but the reward that you really need is the one from your Father in heaven. And if you are doing things to be seen, practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen, then you're not going to have the reward from your Father in heaven. Also, the Gospel of John states the same problem. John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from men more than the glory that comes from God. And so it's very clear that it's a challenge for us to clean out any deception that we would have in our hearts and honestly ask ourselves, what am I doing here? What am I hoping to accomplish? What am I trying to accomplish? What are my motives? We should not be so concerned about what other people see us do. I understand that we need to be good examples, and we certainly need to behave, and we need to follow the Lord. But what I'm saying here is, I think you understand that our motivation is not to be seen by others. The reason that we do things or don't do things is not so somebody else has a good opinion of us. Because what that means is that if I'm not being seen, if I'm in private or I'm among people that I don't know, then my behavior is totally different. Have you ever known someone that is a different person on Sunday and Wednesday than they are the rest of the week? Or that the people that they interact with the rest of the time that are not part of the body of Christ may see them in a totally different light than you do, because their behavior is not the same. Their behavior is going to change based on their environment. That's not the way that it should be. Rex and I were talking before services about Elijah going off to boot camp training. And you know, I have a lot of faith and optimism for how Elijah will handle himself in that situation. But he's going to be he's going to be far away from home. He's going to be away from people that know him. And he will be tempted in ways that he probably isn't at home. And he'll have to be bold, and he'll have to stand for the truth and continue to be faithful. Because if he is not that strong, if somebody is in that situation, they're not strong, they start to think, well, I don't know anybody here. Nobody, my mom and dad aren't here. They're not seeing me. I can do whatever I want. And if you are doing what John is saying, those that love the glory that comes from men, if you're in an environment that people don't care about what you do, if you're only living to please others, then whatever you choose to do is going to be based on the people around you and their expectation of you. So Barnabas had a faith that was so encouraging because of what he had received from the Lord, and he turned around and was generous to others. And Ananias and Sapphira, it appears that they only cared about how their faith looked to everybody else. And that's not the right kind of heart. So there's a lot here that is helpful to us if we will look at Ananias and Sapphira, and we'll say, I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to live my life to try to be pleasing to men. I'm not going to live my life trying to receive accolades from others. But I want the approval of God. And so it's a challenge for us because people like recognition. They like to be seen. But it's not the right motivation. So let's take these things to heart and live our lives in such a way that we can be pleasing to God and be a son of encouragement. Be like Barnabas and be pleasing to God. We can help you in any way this morning as we sing the invitation song. We'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.
It's the loving shepherd calleth thee now to come into the fold of safety where there is rest and room. Come in the strength of manhood, come in the born of youth. Enter the fold of safety, enter the way of truth. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he. Wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting, there standing I see. Jesus, my shepherd divine, Jesus, the loving shepherd, gave his dear life for thee. Tenderly now he's calling, wanderer, come to me. Henceforth without his danger, come first the shepherd plans. Enter the fold of safety, enter the place of rest. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he. Wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting, there standing I see. Jesus, my shepherd divine. Lingering is but falling. Wolves are abroad today. Seeking the sheep or straying. Seeking the lambs to slay. Jesus, the loving shepherd, calleth me now to come. Enter the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he. Wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting, there standing I see. Jesus, my shepherd divine.
Take it in the face, that's the greatest thing.